We are going to read first our text, which is found in Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. And then we are going to read some verses from John chapter 15. Mark chapter 3. We're reading just one verse from this portion. Verse 13, the scripture says, "And he goeth up into a mountain, and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him." Now in John chapter 15, I would like for us to begin our reading at verse number 9. John 15 and verse 9, the scripture says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." Amen. We trust the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his holy word for his name's sake. Before we consider anything from God's word, let's just turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Indeed, I say this is the time for you to pray for yourself, that the Lord would allow his word to come to your own heart and to speak to you as a word in season meant for you. Let's all pray. Our Father and our God, again, now we come in Jesus' name and we ask, O God, that thou would allow the word of God to be quickened by the Spirit of God and applied to every heart as in truth a word directly from thy voice to our ears. Lord, I pray that thou wilt undertake for the sake of the Lord Jesus to address us at the point of our need. May we find ourselves meeting with Christ today. Lord, I pray now that thou wilt help me as thy servant. I pray that thou wilt lead me by the Spirit of God to only present that which is of Christ. Lord, we plead the blood over ourselves and over this time. Come, O God, and do thy work in this place, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our text is Mark chapter 3 and verse 13. "And he goeth up into a mountain, and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him." This morning I want us to consider the subject, the path to fellowship with Christ. May the Lord bless us. We might ask right at the outset, why did we read John chapter 15 when our text is found in Mark 3? And Mark 3 entails nothing more, as it were, than the calling of the Lord's disciples. The answer to that is that John chapter 15 is the Lord Jesus answering why they were called and to what they are called. The Lord tells us that those that He called to Himself were called because they were Christ's. And they were called further to be those who were holy and separate unto Christ. They were those that were to keep His commandments, those that were to know Him and His fellowship, those that were to know the fellowship also of the Father. And I would say this morning that that thought is a key point of understanding for any who would have fellowship with the Savior. To what are you called? The Lord Jesus, in Mark chapter 3, we would say, chose His disciples. In John chapter 15, He says in verse 16 very plainly, "Ye have not chosen Me, but I have chosen you. And I have chosen you for a reason. And I have chosen you that you might go and bear fruit." If you're going to bear fruit, what fruit is it going to be? And I would suggest to you, it's not going to be fruit of your own making. It's not going to be fruit that reflects something about you. You are but a branch that is tied into the vine, as He says in John 15. So what is it that you're going to bear? You're going to bear, as it were, the image of Christ. You're going to bear Christ outworked through you in your life. Now, I have to confess at the outset that I am indebted to Mr. Spurgeon for the kernel thought that led me to our text. There was a reading in yesterday's Morning by Morning that sparked my interest. His thought was not to note only that the Lord called His disciples to service, but rather there was in that calling a great pattern of the Lord's calling to fellowship for all who are His saints. There's a picture here. A simple, but a powerful picture in the words of Mark 3 and 13. The Lord Jesus went up into a mountain and calleth unto Him who He would, and they come unto Him. Fellowship with Christ on the mountain. That's the setting. I might also ask, as we begin our consideration this morning, what is fellowship with Christ? What is fellowship with Christ? You know, there's a lot of notions about questions like that. When you say ask these questions, you get a lot of responses. I would simply ask, is having fellowship with Christ just that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? I will tell you, that is faith. It's not fellowship, but faith. Is fellowship with Christ that I name the name of the Lord Jesus over all my doings? You know, that's a very common thing that's being done today. We name the name of Jesus. We wear the name of Jesus. We present the name of Jesus in all kinds of ways. And is that fellowship with Christ? I would suspect that that speaks more of superstition than it does of fellowship. Is fellowship with Christ that I have habitual exercise in spiritual duties? I read my Bible. I pray. I do certain things that are right to do. Well, is it right to do those things? Absolutely, it's right to do. But is that fellowship with Christ? You know, the Pharisees were exercised in spiritual duties. Did they have fellowship with Christ? Child of God, very simply, I'm going to be very direct this morning. Fellowship with Christ is interaction. There is a strengthening of your soul that comes from you being in the presence of the person of Jesus Christ by faith. The Lord Jesus says in John chapter 15 that as there is a fellowship with Christ, there will be joy. He says, I am come that you might have joy. I say, fellowship is personal knowledge of the other. And as you can tell, I did not go to Webster this morning. I heard some interesting comments about the last time that I refused to consult Webster. So I didn't even pick him up, so I didn't have to make any comments this morning. Fellowship. Interaction. I coming and pouring my soul out to Christ in the place where He is. And in turn, I hear, as it were, the voice of the shepherd to my own heart. Does the Lord Jesus not tell us that that's what He does? John chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. There is an interaction with the person of Christ through the power of the Spirit of God in the Word of God applied to us. Is it possible to have fellowship with Christ? You know, some of us, quite frankly, begin to wonder about that. John chapter 1 and verse 1 tells us so very plainly. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The scriptural answer to the question I ask is yes, it is. Well, then why don't I know the joy of the fellowship of Christ? There's an answer that perhaps needs to wait for a minute. There's an answer perhaps that you need to go looking for. There's an answer perhaps that you will hear as we go through the course of this morning. I suggest to you, and this I state as my premise, that in this small verse, in this picture, is set before us the Lord's own pathway into fellowship with Christ. Through this picture, we will see what it means to climb up the mountain to Christ. And again, this morning, I would suggest to you nothing but the simplest and the plainest of truths about the path to fellowship with Christ. This morning, I don't have any alliteration. I don't have any pithy phrases or anything like that for my words of my points. I just have just simple, plain words. I've got five things. Here's a handful of things that I would have you to understand about the pathway into fellowship with Christ. First, I would have you to understand this. Where Jesus is a place to which all must come up, as our text would suggest. Where Jesus is, it is a place to which all must come up. You must climb the mountain. There is the most obvious sense that is seen perhaps here, and that is the answer to the question, well, how does a man come up to Christ? Well, it is first and foremost as you have trusted Christ. We might ask the question before we go much further, where is Christ? We say we're going to go up to where He is that we might have fellowship with Him. Where is He? He's seated at the right hand of the Father, the Scripture tells us. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12, but this man, after he had won offered one sacrifice for sins, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth expecting until his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. I might point out again, the work of the Savior, even as he is seated in that place where he is now, is the work of making his people perfect, or holy, or as I just read, sanctified. He has the job, the task of making righteous in their sanctified state those that are his own. Well, how does a man come to Christ in that hallowed place? Well, again, I'm just dealing with that which is obvious, that which is the simplest answer. For a man to come up to where Jesus Christ is now, a man must be saved. Ephesians 2 and 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. O child of God, simply what that is saying is, if you are one who is trusting in the Lord Jesus, if you come to the Lord and you cast all your faith upon Him, you are, in the sight of God, one who is now seated with Christ in that heavenly place. You are where He is. And you are in that position where you may have fellowship with the Lord. But here is the point of the words today. Even though you may be saved and forever in the eyes of God as one who belongs to Christ and is secure in heaven, you are yet on this side of Jordan and still wrestle with the old man. There is a sense in which though you are seated with the Lord in the heavenly places, yet you are still walking down here. Now, I'm talking about in this life, how are you to find your way to the Lord Jesus? How are you to have that fellowship with the Savior? Indeed, we know that the Lord Jesus is doing that work of sanctifying us and doing that work within us for His own name's sake that brings us to Himself and makes us like Himself. But I want to go back to the question that was asked by Mr. Spurgeon in his Morning by Morning. How are you to enjoy holiness now? How are you to have fellowship with Christ now? How is it that your life and your heart is to be filled up with the joy of the Lord now? Yes, you're seated with Christ in heavenly places, but how do you know the fellowship, the joy of Christ now? Well, very plainly, very simply, very directly, you must come up and dwell by faith in that place where the Lord Jesus is. That's a very simple answer. I know there perhaps needs to be some expansion on that, but that's the point. If you're going to enjoy the Lord Jesus, you have to go to where He is. You have to be able to go up the mountain, as it were, and be seated in that place where Christ speaks with us, as He says in John 15, friend with friend. Oh, may I simply allow this then to stand as my first point. The path to fellowship with the Lord Jesus is that path that leads us up to where He sits. Our help and holiness is found in that fellowship that we know in that place with Him. We seek Him where He is. You have to come to the Lord Jesus. You know, this sounds so... It sounds so elementary in some ways. If you're going to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus, you've got to go where He's at. But that's work. I don't want to have to do that. Well, you remember the question I asked a moment ago that I said perhaps we're going to answer through the course of this time this morning? Are you enjoying fellowship with Christ? Are you coming to where the Lord is?
Are you, as a child of God who say you're trusting in Him, are you actually going to Christ?
You know, that would be seem to be common sense. But you know, we don't always follow common sense, do we? You have to go where He is. And you have to come up to where He is. That's point one. Point two is just as simple. And that is this, where Jesus is that place apart. Where Jesus is that place apart. Now the words of our text in Mark chapter 3, it says, in 13 it says, "And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him." Came unto him. I want you to just note those three words. Came unto him. In our Sunday school class, I mentioned a man named Edmund Hebert. He wrote a terrific commentary on the book of Mark and is very strong in his linguistic skills. He makes mention here that it's too bad that we don't have here the literal rendering of the words. Rather than came unto him, he says it better would be said, they went off unto him. They went off unto him. He says, here is the most definite picture of separation. We leave. You know, you can't move off to something without leaving something behind. Did you know that? I mean, that's deep physics. You can't move to something without leaving something behind. That's the picture. Fellowship with Jesus Christ will mean that for us as the people of God, there is a leaving behind of certain things. You know, we are in a day when it seems that the subject of biblical separation is one that is not only misunderstood, but one that is being repudiated. Biblical separation. What is biblical separation? When we talk about the doctrine of separation, what are we talking about? For most people, when you bring up the subject of separation, there is the thought that what you're dealing with is a sour doctrine. And I'm going to put quotation marks around what I'm saying here. It's a sour doctrine that each of us must denounce and defy everyone that does not agree with me, and that we have nothing to do with them from this moment forward. Unquote. That's separation, right? I look at you, I don't agree with you, therefore I say, I defy you, I denounce you, I can have nothing to do with you, I turn my back on you and walk away. You know what? Those who don't agree with separation would say, well, that's what separation is. No. Can you tell that I'm being facetious? I hope so. No, that is not separation. Biblical separation is nothing more, child of God, than you leaving behind those things that hinder you from having fellowship with Christ. Period. Nothing more than that. Nothing more sophisticated about it. Nothing more intense about it, nothing more deep than that. It is simply saying, if it causes me not to be able to have fellowship with Christ, I'm going to leave it behind. And let me say that there is no such thing. And I underscore this, lest we fall into Pharisaism. There is no such thing as a true separation where there is not Christ at the end of it. If you separate from those in this world, so to speak, if you separate from positions, you separate from habits, you separate from activities, you say, I can't have this in my life anymore. It keeps me from going forward with the Lord. You know, if your object is not that you meet with Christ at the end of it, it's not separation. It's you adopting some lifestyle. And let me tell you this, there's a whole host of people today that are doing just this.
We see the dangers in these things in life. We see the dangers in these lifestyles. So we adopt these things. If you are not meeting with Christ, if Christ is not the objective, if He's not the goal, if He's not the one that you seek to come before, that is not separation. That is not godly. That is purely Pharisaism.
Otherwise, I say, if you don't have Christ as that one that you meet, the one that is the reason for what you do, it is, I say, hypocrisy. I say it is self-righteousness. I say it is pride. Now I'm going to get pointed. I was just warming up. Make no mistake. To come where Jesus is, to be a holy man, is to be that man who utterly leaves off the world. I'm done. And I will say very simply, and again equally as pointedly, it's not easy to do that. It's not easy to do that. This would entail leaving off things that oftentimes the world says, this thing makes you someone. This thing that you're doing, this makes you important. This makes you to be esteemed. How many areas does leaving the world affect? I can list for you a couple. The only problem is when I start listing things, then you say, oh, but you forgot this one. Write it on your list then. Separating in Christ means that we're willing to leave everything that would be what we say, this is something that the world says you have to obtain in life to be happy. This is something that would cause you to adjust your values, especially your values of money. What we talk of, what we look at, what we look like, where we go, who we go with. These things are affected. Anything that hinders you from fellowship with Jesus Christ ought to be that which you say in your heart, I am willing to come away from that. And by the way, does the Lord ever tell you, you need to come away from that thing? And He doesn't tell me yet that I have to come away from that thing? Yes. And also, is it right for you, would it be right for me to go to you and say, you're not right because the Lord hasn't told me to come away from that thing? Again, I am absolutely sometimes beside myself. And maybe you've heard me be beside myself. Have you ever heard, when you see me getting beside myself, wave my hand because I'd like to, oh, that's what it means to be beside myself. The thought today that's being presented, that's being preached, that we are being bludgeoned with is that you cannot have convictions anymore. That you can't have a conviction that says that this is something that God would have me to either do or to give away because it, in your estimation, has some other effect. Convictions. Convictions. It seems like that's a wrong thing. No, sir. No, sir. The Lord Jesus tells us, I believe here, that the path to fellowship with Christ is a path that runs not parallel to the things in this life. But His path runs upward and away from the world. Those who would advocate you can go on with Christ
in this lane and you can go on with the world in that lane and there's a parallel. That's not going on to Christ. The image here is you come up the mountain, you come up away from the world unto Christ. With Christ being the end of it all. The motive for it all. The man comes away with God's help. You know, it's interesting that even though the Lord Jesus called up the mountain with Himself these men that are named after our text here, that the disciples had a hard time grasping that the Lord was calling them up out of the world, away from the world to Himself. Because the disciples, as time went on over and over again, keep bringing back up before the Lord the subject, oh Lord, aren't you going to at this time restore the earthly kingdom? Aren't you going to do something in this world? And the Lord said, I am not talking to you men about what's going on in this world. That is not the important thing. What is the important thing is that you realize that you are to come apart to me, that in me is life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There is nothing else that is important for you but to come and to be with me and to fellowship with me and to realize that I am that one who is your salvation. Leave off that which is of the world. We're not worried about the world yet. The world will be taken care of in that day that's appointed by the Father. What's appointed now is for you to believe on Him whom He has sent. My third point. Where Jesus is that place of my soul's good. Where Jesus is that place of my soul's good. We mentioned this in the last point to a certain degree. But the end of the coming apart is that we might be where Jesus is. The statement here is that they came unto Him. Unto Him. Unto Him. Again, the path of fellowship with Christ always ends at the feet of the Savior. What's it mean to be in the presence of the Lord? What's it like to be in the presence of the Lord? When you come and are at the feet of the Lord Jesus and you come and you find yourself before Him, what are you going to find? I'll tell you what your flesh is going to tell you that you're going to find. Because you can see it in so many of the religions in the world. If you come up before the Lord Jesus at His feet, you're going to find judgment. You're going to come up before Him and you're going to know a harsh correction. When you come before the Lord and you put yourself at the Lord's feet, you're going to find a stern and a disapproving look. You say, nobody believes that. Huh? Don't get me started. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Our visitors, I'll spare you. The systems of religion in this world that tell you that you change the disposition of God by something that you can do. How farcical. How blasphemous to the perfection of the work of Christ. The Lord Jesus has made our way to Him open, and we come on the merits of the Lord Jesus. How do you find the Lord? Are you going to find Him as one that is a judge or as one that is stern? Well, I simply ask this. Ask any who ever went to the feet of Christ what they found. Ask that woman in Mark chapter 7 who came and fell at the feet of Christ begging Him to help her because of the unclean spirit that had taken over her daughter. What did she find? What about the woman that came to the Lord in Luke chapter 7 and wiped His feet with her hair? What did she find? What was found of Mary who sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus, and then when the Lord came into the town of Bethany, she ran to meet Him and fell down at His feet because Lazarus has died. What did she find of the Lord Jesus? How about those described in Matthew chapter 15, verse 30? It says, and great multitudes came unto Him, and having with them those that were lame and blind and dumbed and maimed and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and He healed them. You say, why are you doing all... Why are you? My point is this. If you come by faith to where Jesus is, and you come to the feet of the Lord Jesus, what are you going to find? You're going to find one who loves your soul. You're going to find one who can, with but a word or a touch or a glance, look on you and solve what your soul needs beyond all. I say the only thing, no matter what the religions of this world will tell you otherwise, the only thing that you are going to find by coming apart to Jesus is that your soul is helped at the very point that you have a need. What's your need this morning? What do you need when you stand honestly before the Lord this morning and you lift your eyes upward to heaven and you with an open and honest heart present yourself before the Lord? What is it that you need? Can you hear yourself perhaps along with Bartimaeus, Lord, that I would receive my sight? Or with the leper, Lord, I will that Thou wilt make me clean? What is it that you need? Come up to where Jesus is, child of God, this morning. Those of you who are yet to trust in Christ, come up to where Jesus is this morning. At His feet you will find nothing but that which is good for your soul. Again, I underscore, the path to Jesus is not an exercise. It is not merely a religious activity that is performed that you might have some so-called freedom from your fears and guilt. Oh, may we be by faith realize again that when you come apart to Jesus, by grace you are led to that place where you are lifted. It is the place of the shepherd's song and the sheep's rest. It is amazing to me that there can be some, and you say, nobody believes this, Mark. Oh, boy. I say that what we're talking about this morning is contrary to the notion that coming apart to the holy place with the Lord Jesus, it is not coming to that place where your soul is going to be bound and unhappy. Walking with Jesus doesn't make you bound. Can you tell I'm getting tired of hearing that? Can you tell? I was in Sunday school and we were talking about those who are claiming that if you come apart to the Lord, if I would tell you as the Lord Jesus does, if you love me, keep my commandments. For me to tell you that you need to keep the commandments of the Lord, that you might be in the place where the Lord will help you. Oh, don't tell me that, dear brother, because you're binding my conscience of all the absurdities. The very fact that you were made by God binds your conscience. The very fact that you are one that God has placed a moral law over you binds your conscience. You are bound to do what God tells you to do. My telling you to do what the Lord tells you to do is nothing more than my reiterating what God has written in your own heart anyway. Obey! Come to the feet of Christ! There's the first commandment, that you would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to the feet of Christ! Then find it. You're not bound after all, because the Scripture says, does it not? Whom the Son shall make free shall be free indeed. You'll find that your soul is free if you come to the Lord Jesus. You have a heart that's all bound up with worries and cares? Is there anybody in this room who ever gets bound up with worries and cares? Is there anybody in this room who would say, you know what, my being bound up with worries and cares is 90% of my existence? Okay, and I'll turn the mirror away from myself for a minute and I'll let you look at yourselves now after I made that comment. Are you bound with the cares, concerns? How are you going to have any joy? Come up to where Jesus is. Come to the feet of Him who does your soul good. Nobody's ever found that coming to the feet of Christ has done anything else for them but that. Come away to the Lord Jesus. And again, let me just throw this out to you. You want a small definition? Some of you like
my definitions. Some of you don't. Some of you say, will you please quit giving us definitions? No. Christian liberty. What is Christian liberty?
Well, Christian liberty is the ability to do whatever I want to do because, after all, I'm under grace and not under the law.
No. Sorry. You get an F on your report card. Christian liberty. I have found Jesus. I come to where Jesus is. And I find at His feet that He has freed me from all hindrances. The Lord has made me free from my sin. The Lord has freed me from my necessity to do after the habit of my father Adam. The Lord has freed me from the power that sin had over me. Sin shall have no more dominion over you. How is it? That's Christian liberty. Christian liberty is not a subject that tells you what the do's and don'ts are in the Christian life. Christian liberty is a confession on the part of the people of God that I find in Christ all that sets my soul free. He has freed me to worship my God. He has freed me to know the merits of His goodness to me and of His righteousness applied to me. I am free now to know the abundance of His grace. I am in a place of absolute freedom from all that chained me down because of the curse. I'm free. Christian liberty. It's sad sometimes that people take thoughts of that sort and warp them around into some subject and make it a contemporary issue that has absolutely no relevance to what it's actually referring to. Well, did you know that I thought I was going to be done in 15 minutes this morning? I oftentimes do that. You have no idea how many times I walk out and think, you've got about 10 to 15 minutes worth here, brother. Point four. Where Jesus is arrived at by labor. Again, I would say that it is the common mindset of men today that whatever he wants should not really cost any labor. Is that not? Am I off my track here, or can you see it too? We're in a society. I don't want it to cost me anything. I don't want it to be hard. I don't want to have to work hard for this. The practice and teaching of many in Christianity today is that you can have a form of faith that costs you nothing. Hey, you don't have to give up anything. You don't have to be in any way laboring in spirit or in your heart. You don't have. It doesn't have. Just walk through life with a whistle on your lips. You believe in the Lord Jesus, then enjoy everything else there is. There's no cost. Is that found in Scripture? Luke chapter 14, verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost? The Lord Jesus was talking about when you come to Him, there's going to be a cost. Hebrews chapter 4 and 11, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. There is not, there's talking about you working your way into salvation, but there is the call upon the people of God to strive. Let me go back to my picture. Christ went up a mountain. Have you ever climbed a mountain? Easy, isn't it? Just dead easy, climbing a mountain. Do you know coming into fellowship with Christ is in many ways like climbing up a mountain? This would mean then that it is often harder than our other journeys in life. We should expect that. We should accept that. We should endure that. Brother, you're being a pessimist. You're telling me by saying this that I can't make it. No, I'm not. Read what it says in our text. And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and what? 30% of them came to him. Is that what it says? 82%, the great majority, they came. They all came. Here, child of God, is where you can stand up and say, I'm on praise ground now. Because even though you would find it hard, as it were, to leave off, to crucify, you wonder why Paul uses the term, I crucify, or I die to myself, or I put to death, as it were, that he uses such, it's not easy to do the things that Christ would tell you to do. But isn't it wonderful that Paul also says in Philippians 4 and 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He tells me that I am to put off these things. And it's hard. You know, there's a cost. People are not going to... You know what the biggest cost is? Not you just working up the energy to do what God tells you to do. Although that is a... For some of us, that's a bigger task than it is for others. To get up the energy, to get busy, to do it. Do you understand that the cost is also going to involve opposition? If you are going to do what the Lord Jesus tells you, if you're going to separate unto the Lord Jesus, there's going to be many that are opposed. There's going to be obstacles in the way. It may actually cost you something. You may end up having to get rid of something in your life. Nobody's called on to do that, are they? What did the Lord Jesus put his finger on when he was talking to the rich young ruler? The rich young ruler had made an idol in his life out of his wealth. And the Lord says, listen, if you're going to come to me, the idol has to go. The Lord was not telling him only poor men can come. That's not what he was saying. But if you have idols, the idols have got to go. It's not an easy thing necessarily, but oh, is it something that you can do? I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I sure can. There was not one of the disciples that failed to make it up the mountain. And you think about it. Here's John, the young fella. Boinky, 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 boinky. Well, he made it up the mountain pretty easy. And you have old fellows like me, Peter, Huff and Puff. Oh, that was a climb. Man, I thought I was going to pass out on the way. You know, spiritually speaking, we're all different. But we're all going to make it. Hallelujah. When the day comes that Jesus gathers his own to his feet and he calls and says, come up hither. We're all going to make it. We're all going to make it. But that's not to say that you're not going to have to work here. It may cost you something, and it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you your time. It's going to cost you your energy. It may cost you, at least in the eyes of some in this world, it may even cost you your reputation. But at the end of it is Jesus. And in the light of eternity, what were all those things anyway? My last thought is this, and with this we're done. Where Jesus is reflects the light of another mountain. Yes, this was a mountain that the Lord ascended, and he called his disciples to him where they would meet with him, and he would commission them for a work that they were to do particularly for his name. That is a mountain, but may I suggest to you that that mountain reflects another mountain. I say it is impossible, and I underscore that. It is impossible to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus where sights of Mount Calvary are not seen. In fact, the message may well be this. Do you wish to go on with Christ? Then come away to Calvary. Come away, come up, come away, come up to where the Lord Jesus has put away our sin. And I suggest to you this morning, see a truth. Any man that will have fellowship with the Lord Jesus in truth at Calvary must see the putting to death of all the world there You cannot bring your worldliness to Mount Calvary. You cannot bring in what you have and hold of this old world and come to the feet of Calvary where the Lord Jesus has put our sins to death. I come back around to my question that I asked at the very first. Do you have trouble fellowshipping with the Lord Jesus? Where do you seek to meet with Him? Where do you seek to meet with Christ? Some would say, I seek to meet with Christ on the plain of my troubles. Oh, Lord, you need to come down and look at my troubles. No, the Lord doesn't want to meet you at the place of your troubles. He has dealt with your troubles already. He is not afraid to go in where troubles are, but He is not continuously going to meet with you on the plain of your troubles. Well, Lord, come down and meet with me at the altar of my own deserts. I'm sorry. You know, what is it that you really deserve? You can do your very best things, and what are they? Does not the Scripture tell us that our very best works are but filthy rags before the sight of God? You don't want the Lord to meet you on the plain or at the altar of your own good works. Come down and meet me at the home of my needs. Child of God, no. Here I'm going to give you just a simple word. Do not try, when you come up to meet with the Lord or have fellowship with the Lord, to bring the Lord down to where you're at. Turn around and seek by His grace to go where He's at. Take yourself to Calvary again. Take yourself to the place where He has put away sin for you. Take yourself to the place where He took all your stripes and allowed them to be upon Himself. All your sicknesses and illnesses and so forth, spiritually, He laid them on Himself. Come back to the place where the Lord Jesus was made sin for you, who knew no sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Come back to Calvary in your mind and in your heart. Remember what the Lord Jesus did. For there is help for you there. You say, oh, sure, you don't mean that. That's the only place. Last week we met here. Do you remember what we did? Do you remember what we did last week? We came around the Lord's table. Why did we come around the Lord's table? What was there that was good for your soul by coming around the Lord's table? The text we used, then were His disciples glad when they saw the Lord. You see the Lord here. You see the Lord in the workings of the Lord's table. It makes your heart glad. There's a grace that is enjoyed for you in being in the presence of the Lord. What did you remember? What was the subject of your thinking? What was the matter of your consideration? Was it not Calvary? Was it not the broken body and shed blood of Jesus Christ? Is there not a lesson for you there? If you want your heart again to be brought to the place where your soul will know the grace and good, come again then to Calvary. The path to fellowship with Christ is a path where you come up away. You're coming away from the world to the feet of the Savior. But understand, when you come to the feet of the Savior, that they are pierced feet. That they are feet that are showing the effects of a finished work. And on the grounds of that, you have fellowship with God. You say, does God link the atonement that closely? If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Those two things in the same verse are linked hand in hand. Your fellowship in the light with Christ is a fellowship that revolves around the blood that cleanses from all sin. So, conclusion. Are you having fellowship with Christ? What's the answer? What's the path? Come away. Come on.
Come on. Come out. Come away.
Come to the feet of Christ. Remember Calvary. Find for your heart's good the same thing that the woman, the Syrophoenician woman, or the woman in Simon's house, or Mary of Bethany, or any of these others that were helped of Christ. You'll find for your soul. You'll find fellowship with Christ. Amen. May the Lord enable us to know the truth and the richness of this for His name's sake. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, again this morning, we're thankful for Thy Word. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt enable us by faith and the help of the Holy Ghost to be those who truly are led away to the feet of Christ. And Lord, may we find ourselves enjoying with joy unspeakable and full of glory what it means to be with Jesus. Lord, I pray that Thou wilt help each one. Lord, I pray that Thou wilt help the one who prays for himself now. Lord, let me walk with Thee. Lord, let me know the goodness of Thy grace. Lord, let me know the fellowship of the Lord Jesus. I pray that Thou wilt answer that prayer and come alongside and do good to those who are looking to Thee now. Lord, for those who are not looking, will not look, I pray that Thy Spirit, the precious Spirit of God, will come and will point a way, though, will grip the heart and lead to the feet of the Savior. Bless now this time that we've had before Thee. Bless us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.